This is the first in a series of lessons called A Word in a Hurry. These are brief, important biblical discussions designed to help the Christian stand fast in the faith of Christ. The text under consideration is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. The topic is Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me state from the very beginning that the truth that I understand this text addresses, I believe it refers to the Holy Spirit coming upon every covenanted relationship of at least 2 to 3 baptized believers whose desire it is to carry on with the order of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Great Commission. So with that in mind, I propose the following exposition. The scripture reads, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit." Often in the Word of God, baptism is in reference to the immersion of a believer into water. There's no denying that. But there are instances where that is not the case. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist was saying of Jesus, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." In Matthew 20, verse 22, Jesus answered and said, and he was speaking to the apostles, "You know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." In Luke chapter 12, verse 50, Jesus said, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened, till it be accomplished." And one more time, in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, John truly baptized with water. "But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence." So there are instances where water is not what is being referred to when it talks about baptism. In these few verses, there are 3 kinds of baptisms. Those that we just read, those scriptures, there are 3 kinds of baptisms referenced. One baptism of water, another baptism with the Holy Ghost, and yet another baptism with trial, fiery trial. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 cannot be a reference to baptism in water. Let's settle that issue. Even the grammatical construction of the sentence tells us that much. This statement can be divided into these parts of speech. There is a single subject, we. There are 2 verbs. Both are passive. The verbs, passive verbs are baptized and have been made to drink. Those verbs, both of these passive verbs are governed by one prepositional phrase which is functioning as an adverb. And that adverbial prepositional phrase is by one Spirit. So let's put this all together. The action of the passive verbs are baptized and have been made to drink are performed on the subject we. We is receiving the action of the verbs. To be certain that we understand the sense of this statement correctly, convert the passive voice into active. And to do this, the subject becomes the object of the verb, and the passive verbs become active. And since we know how the action was performed, remember the adverbial prepositional phrase, by the Spirit? Well, since we know how the action was performed, the Spirit, in this case, will be the subject. It would read like this. The Spirit baptized, understanding, into one body, and has made to drink, understanding, into one Spirit, us. Or, we could say it like this, the Spirit baptized us into one body, and has made us to drink into one Spirit. That's the statement in an active voice. There should be little doubt that this baptism is synonymous with the text of Acts chapter 1, verse 5, which we read earlier. It reads, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And the fulfillment of Acts chapter 1, verse 5 is the event at Pentecost. There should be no question about this. Like promised to the first Jewish church of Jerusalem, we also see the Spirit of God come upon the first church of the Samaritans in Samaria and the first church of the Gentiles in Caesarea. With reference to the Samaritan church, let's read Acts chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, who, when they were come down, Peter and those that came with him, prayed for them that they might receive, Philip had come down, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, referring to water baptism. Then laid they their hands on them, and they what? They received the Holy Ghost. With reference to the first Gentile church, in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, you read virtually the same thing. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, which believed, referring to the Jews that were present and had come with Peter, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, we want to read this because it's similar. Something similar happens. The Spirit comes upon 12 Ephesian brethren. Verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts or borders, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Important question, important consideration. And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And he said, unto John's baptism. We've been water baptized. Well, what's going on here? Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when he heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They received a proper water baptism. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, something else accompanied this. The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, which was an evidence of at that time of the Spirit having come upon them. And all the men were about 12. There are no other examples of this kind of a manifestation of the Spirit found after this in the Word of God. We have the Samaritan church example. We have Pentecost. We have the Samaritan example. We have the Gentile church example, and we have these 12 disciples that Paul had run into as he went around the borders of Ephesus, the area there. That's it. There are no other examples of this kind of a manifestation of the Spirit. Does that mean that the Spirit of God doesn't come as promised upon those who have covenanted together in the name of Christ to be a New Testament church? Because they lack that overt manifestation of the Spirit's coming and presence? Well, that can't be true. These occasions show us how that the disciples of Christ went out from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth and constituted churches in those places, which became what? The habitation of the Spirit of God. Acts 1:8. Now, Paul's conversion was a unique experience. Do we lack a true conversion experience because we lack a similar manifestation in our lives? Does that mean our conversion to Christ wasn't genuine? Well, certainly not. Since those manifestations, those special manifestations of the Spirit of God coming upon His people, since then, no church needs a Pentecost manifestation, if I can call it that, to know that the Spirit of God is with them. We know that the Spirit of God is in our midst by the directing and teaching and gifts and comfort we receive in conjunction with the Holy Word of God. That should be enough. We would refer you to John 16:13. When genuine baptized believers come into and form into a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they come into real, living, corporate fellowship with Christ by the Holy Spirit. Coming into a church is not only an instance when physical people come to a physical church and say, I want to be counted with this church as a member of it. Coming into a church is a spiritual act done by the Spirit of God. Faith in Christ doesn't put one in a church. Brethren, neither does water baptism. It is after faith in Christ and after water baptism, as we unite together to become a part of one of the Lord's churches, or as we might unite together to begin another church, does the Spirit baptize us into that body and cause us to drink into that one Spirit. I would just simply, to bring this to a close, say what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Thank you so much for your attention today. God bless you.